Hello, sunshine. Welcome to some of your news headlines for April 29th. Let's get our energy up, up, up. Make it a teacher time Tuesday at some point. Shout out to all our teachers and mentors out there uplifting, informing, and inspiring us. Take a moment to give your teacher a handshake, a dap, or a high five at some point. Let them know I see you. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10. Lots to get to, not a lot of time to do it, so let's get to it. We begin today with a lead exposure crisis in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where hazardous levels of lead contamination from lead dust and lead paint have been found in multiple school buildings. The chemical element lead is toxic and can affect multiple organs and nerves, with the potential to cause issues like impaired cognition, behavioral disorders, and hearing problems in kids. No levels of lead exposure are considered safe. One of the places it can be found is in buildings constructed before 1978, when it was still legal to use lead in paint. Back in February, Milwaukee Public Schools conducted blood tests for some of their students, and several of them came back with high levels of lead. The district has since closed some of its schools for deep cleaning, renovations, to get rid of some of the harmful substance. Our Meg Terrell has more on the school district's plans to address this crisis moving forward.
One of the most common sources of exposure to lead is in lead paint, which was banned in 1978. But in buildings that were built before then and haven't been maintained, there can be the risk of lead exposure. And that is what Milwaukee has been dealing with. Earlier this year, they found a child had tested for high levels of lead in their blood. That triggered this investigation into where that exposure was coming from and led to the public school system. It turns out that more than 100 of their buildings were built before 1978. And not all of them have been well maintained. So now they've been going through and doing inspections. They've closed a total of 9 schools, just announcing an additional 2 that will be closed. Those kids will be going to school in other buildings for the time being. They've managed to reopen 5 after they've fixed the lead issues in those schools, but of course 4 will remain closed. But this has been a huge undertaking. And for that reason, the city reached out to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to ask for their help with this, both for their guidance and also to send a small team to help them with things like conducting more lead screening of families, to invite them into large clinics where they can have their blood tested for lead. But because there were these really big layoffs to federal agencies at the beginning of April under the Trump administration, the city of Milwaukee received a letter back from a CDC official on April 3rd, saying, quote, "I sincerely regret to inform you that due to the complete loss of our lead program, we will be unable to support you with this EPI aid request." We heard from Milwaukee's health commissioner about what the effect has been of not being able to call up the CDC for help. Here's what he said.
The childhood lead team at the CDC really were the experts for the nation. So that's been challenging for us. It would be really nice to be able to pick up the phone and call them. Unfortunately, they're gone.
Now, Milwaukee said they are still able to do this and they're working with different partners. And they even said that after the CDC lead experts end their administrative leave period in June, they may try to see if they could temporarily hire them on to help work with them on this. But this really marks the fact that a local public health department has to go it alone without federal support.
One big story out of the sports world this week reminds us that life presents choices, we make decisions, and those decisions have consequences. One of the top NFL prospects in this past weekend's draft had his once-in-a-lifetime moment tainted by an irresponsible prank phone call. Former Colorado quarterback Shedeur Sanders, son of NFL legend and Colorado coach Deion Sanders, was watching the draft with his family, and he got a call from someone saying they were the general manager of the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, we have. It's been a long wait, man.
No, for sure.
We're going to take you with our next pick right here, man.
So you're going to have to wait a little bit longer. Okay. Sorry about that.
We now know that the son of the Atlanta Falcons defensive coordinator was behind the prank call. The Falcons released a statement saying 21-year-old Jax Ulbrich came across Sanders' number in an open iPad while visiting his parents' home and wrote the number down to later conduct a prank call. And this is being taken very seriously. The NFL confirmed to CNN that the league is looking into additional prank calls made, and it's been in contact with the Falcons and is reviewing this matter. That college student did issue a formal apology to Sanders and says, quote, "I made a tremendous mistake. What I did was completely inexcusable, embarrassing, and shameful. Thank you for accepting my call earlier today. I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me." Sanders took the moment in stride with his family there by his side supporting him. And the very next day, he got his moment, celebrating being selected by the Cleveland Browns in the 5th round. 10-second trivia. Trophies for the Grammy Awards are made from what metal alloy? Electrum, duralumin, gramium, or brass? If you said gramium, you're right. Each of the 5-pound gramophone-shaped awards are made from a special trademarked zinc alloy used to make the Grammy Awards trophies, which are then plated in gold. With 35 of her own, Beyoncé has the most Grammys won by any artist ever, and she's kicking off her 9-city, 32-stadium Cowboy Carter tour this week in L.A., even sharing a sneak peek of the concert stage on Instagram this week. Now, the woman who helped shape the star's career, her mom, Tina Knowles, is opening up about raising 2 pop star daughters, Beyoncé and Solange. Our Sarah Seidner got to sit down with her. Check it out.
How many of Destiny Child clothes and Beyoncé's clothes did you end up sewing or having, being involved with?
I started styling them maybe 6 months into their singing career, and I did both. I sewed and I styled them.
I have to ask you about one of the particular outfits that is iconic.
Okay.
And that is the Survivor outfit.
Oh yeah.
That everybody talks about.
That was so much fun.
Where did that idea come from?
Well, actually, Beyoncé saw BC with Raquel Welch.
Oh, yeah.
She had this fur bathing.
It's a little tiny fur.
Yeah, it was a lot tinier than theirs. I made theirs more. But she saw that and she was like, oh, that would be great for Survivor. And this guy Jaime, who was incredibly talented, he and I made those together.
She also worked to ensure that her daughter's relationship with one another was as tight as one of her sewing stitches.
How do you, as a mother, make them both feel that they are special?
Well, I think one of the things is that you look at them as individuals, because they were very, very different. She's very, very different. And I think how I forged that relationship with them is I was terrified when Beyoncé turned around 10, she might have been 10 or 11, and she was in the singing group, and the kids would say to Solange every day, be quiet, Solange, because she would try to choreograph, and, you know, she's bossy.
She wanted to be involved.
She bossy, too, but she, and they didn't want her involved, and then I started noticing that Beyoncé would allow them to talk to her like that, or she would say, okay, Mom, can you get Solange out of here, because she's doing, and I'm like, wait a minute, this is her house, and you got to be nice to her. And I told her all the things, you know, how important it was for her, but finally I realized that they weren't listening, and I saw a wall between them coming, and so I got them in therapy. And it was really early, because my family was like, you're going to make those girls crazy. Because, you know, especially in the Black community back then.
You didn't do therapy?
No,
people
didn't.
People don't do it now.
Right. But back then it was really taboo. Yeah. And even my husband, he was like, I just don't know if they're too young for you to do that. And I'm like, I'm not asking. I'm going to find somebody. And I found this wonderful therapist, child therapist. And it's funny because he told Beyoncé all the things I had told her, but she listened from him.
Right.
Even though she hated therapy, she hated going, Solange loved therapy. She loved talking and, you know, expressing herself, and the outcome was great. It was really great because they have been super tight since.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
And it's such a beautiful gift that you gave to them.
Yeah.
Today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, goes to the community that helped a senior goat through a bad situation. Sesame, the 13-year-old pygmy goat, was ready to retire and spend his golden years with his owner and best friend, 12-year-old Truly, and her family. But when he went to move to their Virginia neighborhood, some neighbors and local council members were like, you've got to be kidding me.
They're thinking that, oh my gosh, it's a farm animal. He's going to bring rats. He eats all this food.
Now, Truly told her neighbors that was goatily false and helped convince them just to goat with the flow. In response, many neighbors wrote supportive letters, making signs in favor of Sesame's move. With majority support from residents, the Henrico Zoning Commission voted to allow Sesame to spend his retirement with his family. Goat to love it. All right, it is officially shout-out time, and we're sending some love to Mr. Edwards and all of our Eagles at John D. Pierce Middle School in Redford, Michigan, thank you for making us part of your day. Remember, tomorrow is hashtag Your Word Wednesday. Your word can make it in the show and boost our vocabulary, so put that unique vocab word and definition in the comment section of my most recent post at Coy Wire on the socials, and we're going to pick a winner for tomorrow's show. Have an awesome one, everyone. Bring those words. Can't wait to see them. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.